everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today to be talking to another writer. We love talking to writers here on the podcast. And we're going to be talking with writer Heather Conkey from she writes on the Heartland show, which, you know, we have a lot of Heartland fans that listen to the podcast. So we're really looking forward to that. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and Cammy is here.
Hello, and I am one of those Heartland fans.
Yes, so this is going to be great. And Heather, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, not a problem. It's my pleasure.
Yes. So what we like to do with our guests is we like to give you a chance to introduce yourself and to tell us what inspired you to become a writer. I understand that you started out as an actress, and so how did that all happen?
Actually, I started out as a concert pianist and then an actress, and then came after years and years of practicing the piano on my own in a room, I became a writer, which was years and years of writing inside my room. So my little office, but I really didn't change much except for now it's a keyboard of a computer and the other was a keyboard of a piano. But certainly love both those things. I think what inspired me to write, though, is just... it's funny you mentioned being an actress, because I was doing shows for TVO, which is an educational television broadcaster in Canada. And I was so interested in what was going on behind the scenes. I kind of followed people and ghosted them and wanted to be around and figure out what, you know, the other parts of this process were. And I became really fascinated by it and started to write my own spec scripts. And it went from there, which was fantastic.
Wow. So when you were growing up, you were focusing more on music, and then you mm-hmm. transitioned into acting, and then into, writing. Yeah.
And now I guess I've transitioned a little more into the production side of things with uh-huh. Heartland. I'm one of the exec producers, but I'm mainly my biggest role is the showrunner, which yeah. means that I'm in charge of all the creative and write scripts on my own, and also have a fantastic team of writers who work with me. Uh-huh. So it's a pretty great job. I'm the first one in and the last one out, because I'm also in charge of the editing and the sound mixing at the very end before we deliver the finished show. So it's a year long job, and it's probably the favorite thing I've ever done in my life. I love it.
Well, there you go. That's always nice.
That's great. So like if the younger version of Heather came and saw you today, you'd be like, wow, that's unexpected. Didn't see that coming.
I would say, you're still in a room.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Uh-huh. No, I have to say, I'm not in a room by myself all the time. I'm on set, and I'm on location scouts, and I'm also, it's such an outdoor show, as you can tell by watching it. It's so unlike many television shows where you're sort of outside maybe 40% of the time, the rest of the time you're in a studio. We're the exact opposite, if not more. So it's a very outdoorsy thing. I get out of the room.
Yeah. Well, that's good. As somebody who's somewhat of a house hermit myself, I uh-huh. sometimes you just need to get outside.
And yes, absolutely. It's healthy.
Yeah. I'll have days.
It's very healthy.
Where I have days where I'm just working on the podcast all day, and people will be like, wasn't it a terrible weather today? And I'll be like, yeah, I guess I didn't really go outside.
Never did get outside today.
Yeah. It was
very- okay, yeah. But that's just part of the job. The job yeah. is multifaceted, as I'm sure yours is. It's just so many things, and talking to so yeah. many people and coordinating yeah. and collaborating, which is
right.
not always fun, but in the end, it's so valuable and so, and sometimes it's magic.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. I mean, they always say, find out what you love and then find a way to get paid for it. That's the
exactly. Exactly.
And sometimes that takes a little checking to figure that out. Well, very good. So you worked on a series called Avonlea, or Road to Avonlea, depending on where it's at. And I'd seen a few episodes of it. And I, you know, I'm a huge Anne of Green Gables fan.
Amen.
I was curious.
As am I. Totally.
What was that like to work on that show?
It was amazing because I think everything I learned about writing, I learned on that series. It was an amazing experience. It was my first really big experience because it was also being shown in the States and was an immediate hit in Canada. I know that for sure.
Of course.
And no one, I mean, we knew it was going to be beautiful because they'd already done, Sullivan Films had already done the beautiful Anne of Green Gables miniseries. Yeah. And it was spectacular. And so Road to Avonlea was modeled after that with a slightly different cast of characters. The main characters were all different, but we still had our beautiful stalwart actors from the Anne of Green Gables movies. So it was, you can never know though when something is going to be successful. You sometimes get kind of goosebumps when you start thinking of it as a whole and how the whole 13 episode arc will feel like, and I was just a writer on that, and so I never got that feeling like I do now when I can sit in the edit room and think, oh, okay, this isn't too bad. But I learned so much that it was astounding. The one thing that I learned about family drama in particular is that life is not just, you know, a series of dramatic events. People laugh at the strangest times, and if you can make people cry and then make them laugh within, you know, 5 minutes or even less, you kind of put people through a catharsis. And it's a nice catharsis. They feel like they've gone through something by the end of that hour. And I think that's key. And it's something I've always held on to. Certainly learned it loud and clear on Avonlea. And I still miss that show. I'm loved writing for it. I love the actors. When you look back at that cast now, Sarah Pauley was just so incredibly talented and so young, and she's gone on to be, you know, equally famous as a writer and a director. So good company for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's funny that you would say that because I was a theater major in college, and that was one of the first things that my very first theater director said in the class that I took, almost in the first class that we took from him, just find the humor the humor. And it was amazing what that did for us as actors when we were looking through the script. Just what can we laugh at and why? And I still remember that he put a funny part in Romeo and Juliet that I just went, what? But it worked because it was just just the amount of comic relief that we needed to just alleviate the stress a little bit. Yeah. So that's got to be the most priceless bit of info that you've said.
Yeah.
It's important. And it's important on Heartland specifically because it's so multi-generational in a similar way to Avonlea. But multi-generational is different because different generations have a different humor as well.
Right.
So what's funny about Jack and Tim coming up nose to nose together is they're probably 20 years apart, but it's classic. You can't, like, we get most of our lightness from their banter and their disagreements. Yeah. But you know, with Jade and Georgie, much younger generation, they find other things funny, as do teenagers in life, you know. And you have to keep that in mind all the time.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah.
When you're writing, everyone has that specific voice because it would be fake funny if it didn't fit them. Particularly. We have a cast that's so capable of doing both. Every single character has that ability to turn on a dime, and they know their characters so well, and we know their voices so well. My gosh, if we didn't, after 200 episodes, we'd have a big problem.
Yeah.
but it's a joy to watch them with the material and the read-throughs. Some of the things that you hope are funny aren't, and some of the things you never thought would be funny just lift off the page. So it's a really interesting experience.
Well, even the difference between Ty and Amy and Cassandra and Caleb, just the difference between what the two pairs find funny. I still remember when the baby threw up all over Cassandra and Ty and Amy were trying so hard to hold it in.
Mortified.
Yeah. So just even between what the two couples find funny from their different perspectives is awesome.
Exactly. Because Ty and Amy are pretty serious. I mean, for the most part.
They're
adorable. But Caleb is funny. And Caleb and Ty interaction is so much fun to write. Because Caleb is not the brightest, you know, card in the deck. He's just so lovely and has a heart of gold. And, you know, he would do anything for anybody who's his friend. Yeah. And we love Caleb. We love the interaction between him and also with Lindy. He's amazing with kids. So we have some plans down the road for him for sure.
Oh, I bet.
That'll be fun.
So this season 13 has a couple of great Caleb things for sure.
Oh.
Great.
Good.
just saying.
One thing I've always been curious about with television shows is you have this showrunner who's kind of producing and overseeing everything, and then the writers and then other people involved. And I was just curious, like, where is most of the kind of decision making that's kind of made? Do you as a writer get told these are the beats that have to happen in the episode in order for this arc of the season, or do you go to them? I think this would be the right thing to happen, or how does that work?
We put our heads together right as one season ends. We start arcing the next one.
Uh-huh.
And it's the team. I generally have an idea for the overall arc for the next season. We've had pretty good luck in the past of knowing kind of two seasons ahead of ourselves where we want to be. And
two
I think
seasons.
That's really helped.
Wow.
So I've always felt that that's a good idea so that you're not going somewhere with the audience and you find yourself painted into a corner.
Which
can happen. So we always have a really broad sense of where we want to go, maybe even over, as I say, over 2 years. But then we have a very definite sense of where we want to go within the year. And we start just planning that. We know exactly where we're going to begin. We know exactly where we're going to end. And then it's filling in. And then it's filling in again with the main characters and then the secondary characters. And it usually has a theme. This year's 13 theme is literally pulling together as a family, which is not unusual on Heartland. They do it anyway. But this year they really do it. They come up against some circumstances where they have to. And that was sort of our theme. And then we just go through the main characters. We arc it all out there's cards all over my walls. The writers all get together for about 15 days and we put the main things on cards and literally okay. cover walls with them. So, and then we talk the other producers through them and oh. we get their notes. So that's the boring part, but no. But then we talk the broadcaster, which our main broadcaster is the CBC in Canada. Sure. And we talk them through it and then we write them up. We send them out, we get notes from them, suggestions, and we incorporate those, and then we go. Then we go to script.
Yeah.
But it is a process. It's a process that takes time, but it's so worth it, because when we do start writing, we know exactly what we're doing, even if we're writing separately, because one of our writers is in Vancouver. I mean, it's so much easier to communicate now than it was.
Yeah.
You talked about Avonlea. I mean, it was like another era. You couldn't have huge, big conference calls, and you didn't have instant, Skype calls, and you couldn't communicate. You felt like you were in a bubble. But now, it doesn't matter whether someone's in Calgary or Vancouver or Montreal or Toronto. We can all communicate.
And, yeah.
But it still works better when we're in the same room.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
That's really interesting.
I can only imagine the process when Ty and Amy got engaged, or the wedding.
Well, truth be told, if you recall, they got engaged about 3 times.
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, and the wedding, we were, like any writers, we were worried that the minute we married them, as so often happens in television, people lose interest. But
yeah. I am so glad that you did it anyway.
When my daughter was just on her way to getting married, and of course you know life doesn't end with that. We were, I was planning my daughter's wedding at the same time as I was planning Amy and Ty.
Oh so my was, gosh! Oh, that's magical.
Yeah. So
it makes me laugh thinking about it now.
Yeah. So when you're writing for a character, do you hear the actor's voice in your head when you're writing a dialogue? Can you hear, especially a show that's been on so long, do you hear them saying it when you're writing it?
Oh, very much so, because they're also individual. They're all so different. I mean, I can hear Jack's voice constantly in my head lecturing me half the time, but, no, Sean Johnson, who plays Grandpa Jack, is amazing. And he also, at script stage, when we're in prep to shoot, comes into my office for very long conversations about the script and gives me what he calls his Jackism. And and some of them are just so good and so priceless. And then he sometimes gives me advice on other characters too, and I shut him down.
I was about to say, are these conversations solicited or not?
Oh no, I welcome them, because he cares so much about the show, and he cares so much about the other actors. He really is. He's really the grandfather of the cast. Mm-hmm. And he's not as old as he seems on screen, of course. So it's kind of funny taking on this role.
He and Chris Potter are only, 6 years apart? Is that?
Yeah, if that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that is the funniest thing, that it works. It works so well.
Oh, it works so totally. It works beautifully. They're perfect for each other. They're the odd couple of the show. They're terrific. Yeah.
Well, I think
we hear them all. And they're all very, they're not super involved, which is a good thing, but they're involved enough that if they read something that they don't feel right with, they'll come and tell us, and we listen, and if we feel that they feel strongly about it, we will make changes, absolutely, which I think has created a very happy relationship between all of us.
Yeah, well, I figured there must be something like that, because you've been able to keep the same core cast for so long. And so they must find it a stimulating and productive, and they must love being on the show if you're going to be on it for 13 seasons. It's pretty
amazing. Either that or there's something in the water.
They do. Either that. Yes, our other, one of the executive producers, Tom Cox, just thinks the stars aligned and they've just stayed aligned, which is pretty a nice thing to say. I think what it is they all think of each other as family. Uh-huh. At this point, it's not just a family on screen, it's a family after hours. They give each other pep talks and support, and they get mad at each other at times, just like family. And but they're just all so smart, and they love the role. They love the show.
Yeah. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They're the good folks over at HelloFresh. And right now you can, if you go to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies10, use code Hallmarkies10, you can get 10 free meals, including free shipping. It's a great deal. They're America's number one meal kit. And they provide 22 plus seasonal chef curated recipes each week that you can choose from. So it's really great service, and it really helps you get out of your dinner rut. If you kind of get tired of making the same recipes, but you need some ideas, that it's a really good way to do that. And they have different themes. You can get low calorie, vegetarian, family friendly recipes. And so that's great. It also saves you time. You don't have to go to the grocery store. You don't have to spend the time planning and getting everything ready. And one thing's nice as a single person that I like about the service is I get just enough I need for a particular recipe. So I don't have tons of big bottles of sauce that I, you know, only need for one recipe, or spices that I only need for one recipe. So I think that is really nice. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship the food is almost entirely made from recyclable and already recycled content. The carbon footprint is 25% lower than store-bought grocery-made meals. And it's flexible. You can add lunches to the order. You can get garlic bread, cookie dough, other things that you can add, which is really nice. You can change delivery days. You can make it work for your schedule, which is great. And so definitely check out HelloFresh. I think it'll really be a great thing for your family, or even if you're single like me, you'll really enjoy it. So go to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies10. Use code Hallmarkies10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping. So there's a lot of animals on the, particularly horses on the show.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
This is true. There are.
Yes. And so I was wondering if that's challenging working with the animals and also like writing them into the script, because you don't know how they're going to behave. Right.
Oh, you never know how they're going to behave, but they're, I have to say, half the time I think they read the script, because they do react really, really well. We have amazing wranglers who are so talented, and they're all horse whisperers themselves. They know exactly how to make these horses do what they do. And of course, we have doubles and horse. We have our jumping horse and our horse that will rise up and neigh at the same time, but they're all movie horses in many ways, so they are used to the camera. They're used to it also, which is important. It's a very quiet set, because we don't have people who yell at each other. You can't when you're around horses and animals of any kind. It has to be very calm, and with little kids as well. So we have a very, very quiet set, which helps. But the day I have to tell you, though, in our first meeting, always in prep with the wranglers, and we write as if the horses are people. So we write things in the script, like Barton turns away, obviously upset. And they get quite a kick out of that, because he anthropomorphize, is that
right?
The word? Yeah. The animals in a ridiculous way. We sometimes do it just to get them going, but mm-hmm. Yes, we have them undergoing grief. We have them undergoing joy, just like we would write for a cast member, because they are cast members. Spartan is a cast member, and I probably sound a little crazy, but the wranglers, after laughing heartily at the way we write, will go away and actually get the horse to do what we've written. So I give them all the kudos for that. I to this day, well, there's a scene, and I won't divulge what the scene is, but one of the last scenes of season 13 is, in my mind, miraculous. I've never seen horses do what they do in that particular scene. So you must wait for the last few minutes of episode 10 of season 13 to watch it, because it's a perfect example of what the Wranglers are able to do.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. So what do you think is the key element that has allowed Heartland to last for all of these now going on 13 seasons? What do you think makes it work with the audience and with everybody involved?
Oh, I think it's a lot of luck. But I also think that people, that the fans who watch it, really believe these characters are real and they want to live at Heartland. It's very, I don't know, inspirational maybe. I think we touch on a lot of subjects that people go through in their life, and so they can relate to them. I think there's a multi-generational cast and story, so because of that, we have a very multi-generational audience. We have, if we can believe the numbers, we have everybody from 4 to 94 and above. And I think it's because there's something for everybody. We have made, it's not completely by chance. We've made it an order of the day to introduce new younger characters, because when we started, our Amy character was playing 15. Right. And now she's a married woman with a 3-year-old this year. And so we needed, and then we had Mallory, who also grew up on camera until she was like 17. And so she became a teen. And then we brought in Georgie, who was 9 when we brought her in. So we constantly bring in just a younger generation that the younger viewers can really relate to. Even though I think the younger viewers relate to Jack just as easily. I also think at the very beginning, when we were doing 18 episodes per season, we were also able to see all 4 seasons of the year. So we always start shooting in the spring, but you could see spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And it made people, for all those years, feel like they lived a year in the life of the family, because they lived through the seasons with them. And I think that helped us a lot. I also think it's just how beautiful the place is. It's a beautiful place to shoot. Alberta is incredible. The scenery is so much a part of our show. So I think everybody gets a much needed hour of maybe that laughter and tears we talked about, plus a beautiful setting that they'd really love to be there instead of maybe in the here and now sometimes.
Yeah.
But they're sure loyal.
I think that one of the other things that you do so well is what you said, is treating the horses like cast members, because then it makes us sympathize with the horses and not just the characters. I still remember, I discovered Heartland on Netflix when I was pregnant and I was having terrible insomnia. And so I just started watching it thinking, oh, it's going to be another TV show. And then I started watching it. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is very interesting. And I still remember watching an episode and thinking, I want to get a ramp someday. And then I said, wait a minute, what am I talking about? No, I could not possibly take on that responsibility. But I am constantly fighting those feelings of wanting to get a ranch. And so you're doing something right.
Well, you have to get your ranch, or even better, just come and visit our ranch.
Yeah.
I would much rather do that. I can come and visit. I'm very much a suburban girl. I'm not a city girl, but I am a suburban girl. So I don't know if I would be cut out to live on a ranch, but I would be glad to stay for a week.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We've had many people request that. And we've had many people actually write to us or come up to us at fan days and say, we did buy a ranch. We didn't. We moved out
goodness.
Of the city and we love it. But I'm sure there's just as many who did that and then just don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
back to the city.
Right.
I'm sure it's hard. I know Amber Marshall, who plays Amy, has a ranch of her own. So she's up
right.
at, I don't even know what time, because her call times are usually 6 and 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, my
she's up
goodness.
Doing all her chores at her own ranch before she comes to the Heartland
wow.
Ranch. And I
wow.
don't quite know how she does it, but she's an amazing girl. Mm-hmm. And manages to do a lot of things really
yeah.
well.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I was thinking, I was going to ask you how you keep coming up with story ideas for these characters that have been on almost every episode. But in a way, if you're thinking about it as just sort of living with these characters, it's probably not, I mean, I'm sure it's difficult, but maybe not as difficult as you would think, because you're just, what's the next step in life, you know, for these
exactly.
for these characters? That's what you're going to talk about.
Exactly. It is a, we try to be as real as possible, and we try to follow, everybody in the writer's room has different experiences, and but you're always better to write about what you know. And we also share our actors' experiences and
yeah.
where they're going in their lives. And
yeah.
it does. It's a family.
Sure.
So things happen in families, and they're good things and bad things. And to make it obviously what they would do in their life. If this happened, this is what they would do. It's easier than writing. I shouldn't say this, or other writers will kill me. But I think it's easier than a procedural in some ways.
Yeah.
Because you're not constantly plotting and making, you know, keeping things secret until the end of the episode or whatever, or writing a mystery. It's way more a slice of life than that, which
mm-hmm.
I think is, I much prefer writing for sure.
That makes sense. That makes total sense to me. So do you have any little, you said a few things about season 13, but is there anything else you want to tell viewers to entice them to for the new season?
Well, I think we set off in 1301 with the feeling that Amy and Ty had made their business extremely successful and were busy, and things couldn't have been better. They were even starting to build on their beautiful site that Jack gave them for their house, and everything is great, except in this day and age of social media, it's so easy to make enemies. And one very disgruntled horse owner really threatens to bring their business down.
Mm.
And it's something that they deal with until, I guess, halfway through the season. So that, and he, the actor who plays this disgruntled guy, is wonderful. So I think the audience will love that. And we also see Georgie coming back from Europe, quite different in the way her outlook is. And we kind of think that there's somebody that she met out there, but we're not about, don't meet him for a while. And but her life actually changed a bit while she was in Europe, and she doesn't tell anybody, of course. And Georgie as well graduates from high school this year.
Wow.
And is planning on a road trip with her little sidekicks, Adam and Wyatt. But then something comes along that totally disturbs that. We also have a lot of stories for the people who love the horse stories, which hopefully is everybody. The herd of Will's wild horses that they took over in the previous
yeah.
season is still where they put them in what we call Mustang Meadows. It's kind of that beautiful field in front of where their house is being built. And
sure.
because there's no natural predators, Amy is talked into gentling some of them so that they can go to new owners who appreciate them and love them. And so there's this one horse that she tries to gentle, and it's a diva, and
oh,
it will not
yeah.
be gentle. And in the process, however, she does see another horse that she is able to work with. So, and that horse plays a role throughout the season, and he's absolutely beautiful. And I think we have a couple of really wonderful Jack stories coming up that look into something that happened to him, a very tragic incident that happened to him, and he's been harboring it and not talking about it for 50 years. And
oh,
that's
my.
Like a two-parter. And we delve into Jack's past more than we ever have, and discover something that he's been keeping
oh.
from his own family And it's, it's beautifully, beautifully done, beautifully directed. It was, speaking of Anne of Green Gables, it was directed by Megan Follows, who was the original Anne. So that was wonderful. Yeah. So we're looking forward to everybody's reactions to that episode, because it was a bigger budget than normal too. In episode 4, it's quite a stunning episode. But, you know, it's full of fun stuff and full of Mitch, Tim, Jack things about the stupid beef business. And Tim and Jack have a major feud over the fact that Jack becomes, even though a photographer came and took pictures of all three of them to advertise Heartland Beef, Jack is the only one they feature in the ad. So that has long repercussions. And of course, he's gorgeous in the picture, and every woman in Hudson has it on their fridge. It just puts Tim's nose right out of joint. So there's a lot of fun. There's a lot of adventure. This is actually, they're all favorites, but I think this was one of my favorite seasons of all. In the writing, in the seeing it being produced, in post. The music is absolutely fantastic. The cinematography is beautiful. It just worked. And for a show to feel fresh like that after this many years is just a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a great accomplishment.
And we're going to have to wait how long to get it here in the States? Darn it.
Not very long, actually. No, we wanted to
not very long.
Yeah. It's already started. You can watch season 13 of Heartland on UPTV's Up Faith and Family streaming service that you can subscribe to. And we'll put all that information in the description section if people want to check it out. And thank you so much, Heather, for coming on and talking with us. This has been really interesting. I always love hearing sort of the behind the scenes of the writers. And so that was great. And we really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing what happens next in the world of Heartland.
That's fantastic. It was lovely talking to you too, as well. You're really interesting people to talk to.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Do you have any social media or anything like that that you want to share, or are you good?
Well, the show does. You can find it. There's a blog site. There's a Heartland site. Please use it and promote the show as best you can. We love the fact that you do that.
Well, we're happy to do it. And thanks again for coming on. And everybody listening, let us know your thoughts on Heartland and what we talked about, and your excitement for season 13. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Twitter or in the comments section. Let us know. And thanks again, Heather. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be able to catch up again another time. And so
I would love that.
All right. We'll talk to you later then. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi. I just wanted to add one more thing real quick to this interview. We found out from the folks over at Up Faith and Family streaming services that we got a link that can take you to get 2 weeks free if you're interested and you want to watch shows like Heartland on their service. Then you can check that out. This is not a sponsorship. This is just something, a perk that they are giving for our listeners. So go and check that out if you want the 2 weeks free and you want to check out UPTV's Faith and Family subscription streaming service. So thanks.